needed for the next few weeks for us to focus on many of the prakim of Tehillim, which we're saying during these times, so we could understand them with more depth and with more nuance, and hopefully that'll enhance the tefillos that we're going to have, and they should all be fully answered. We'll see if we can tackle two. I hope we can. First is Tehillim Perek Chaf, Lam Natzeach, the parak of Yancha, and I would love to pair that with Tehillim Kuf Chaf Beis, and that is the parak of Yerushalayim Ir Shechurbu LaYachtav. The reason why I thought these two go together is that Lam Natzeach really is the parak of Tehillim for David HaMelech to give us when we go to war, and Tehillim Kuf Chaf Beis is the ultimate parak of peace, which is our total aspiration. So we'll see what David HaMelech has to say about both of these in Yirtzeh Hashem. We'll start with Perek Chaf. And I put here the Perek with the translation. So the Pasuk Perek begins, Mizrah LeDavid, Yancha Hashem b'yom tzara yisagevcha shem elokei Yaakov. So Hashem should answer us in a time of crisis. He should exalt us, the God of Yaakov. This theme of Yancha is pervasive in the parak, even though it's a very, very short mizmor. It's only really 9 psukim long. The idea of Hashem answering us comes up 3 times. We have it in Pasuk Beis, Yancha Hashem b'yom tzara, we're davening to Hashem to answer us. We have it again in Pasuk Zion, where David says, Ya'anehu mishmei kadsho, may Hashem answer from the from the holy heaven, and we have it again at the end. Hashem Hoshia Hamelach Ya'anenu Biyom Karenu. Right? May Hashem answer us on the day that we call out to Him. The Medrash Tehillim, the first source after the whole Tehillim here, points out not only is the theme of Hashem answering us pervasive in this Mizmor, but it is strategically located. The Medrash points out that the beginning of the Mizmor is about Hashem answering. Yancha Hashem b'yom tzara, and the very end of the mizmor is about Hashem answering. Ya'anenu v'yom karenu. So this whole entire mizmor is us davening to Hashem to answer us in times of crisis. Right? We call out, we daven that Hashem will answer. What the exact crisis is you actually have to wait until Pasuk Ches or Pasuk Tes for the Pasuk to hint to us what this is. It's not until there that we're told that the Eila Berechav, Eilu Basusim, these guys have horses, these guys have chariots, V'anachnu B'Shem Hashem Elokeinu Nazkir, we have the name of Hashem who we invoke. So it's clear from there that this is a battle, right? So we're going out to war, and this is the tefillah, which is there before we go to war. Rashi has a comment at the very beginning of the Mizmor, which I found very resonant for us here in Chutz La'aretz, where, I don't know about you, but I feel extremely funny seeing all these videos of the Chayalim right now on the front, or seeing all these videos of the families of the Chayalim on the front, and like, here in Chicago, and I go to shul, and I teach, and I have cousins, but I do not feel, oh, what can we do? And I don't feel like I'm directly connected in exact the same way as those who are mamish right there. Rashi actually comments, if you see, Yancha Hashem b'yom tzara, when was this written? So Rashi says, Hamizmor hazeh al shem shahaya sholeach es Yoav ve'es Yisrael lemelchama. David HaMelech writes this Mizmor, right? It's a Mizmor of David. He writes it when he sent the general Yoav and Yisrael to war. Where is David himself? V'haya omed b'Yerushalayim u'mispalel aleihem. David's job was to stay back in Yerushalayim. And he is davening. He is davening on the home front. They are there on the military front. Kenyan Shneamar, Pasuk says in Shmuel Beis, Tov kitia lanu meir la'azor. Right, the Yoav actually in the pasuk over there, and the army tells David, "We don't want you fighting in this battle. We want you staying back. You'll be helpful over there." David's going to daven. Everyone else is going to fight. And Rashi quotes the Gemara: "Amar Rabbeinu il malei David lo asa Yoav machama." Were it not for the tefillos of David, Yoav never would have been successful in his battles. So this mizmor, this lamnatzeach of davening for us to have success in battle against our enemies, according to Rashi, is being said by someone in the exact same position that we are in as well. David is not fighting in this mizmor. David is davening for those who are going out to fight. That's the role that us here have as well right now. The Ibn Ezra, just kind of parenthetically, so he says he's not sure. Is this written by David? Was this written for David? But Rashi says that David is writing it for Yoav. Okay. The mizmor really can be divided up into two pieces. The first is pasuk beis through pasuk vav. You can see there's a very clear rhythm over here. It's may Hashem do X, may Hashem do Y, may Hashem do X, may Hashem do Y. So pasuk beis. Yancha Hashem biyom tzara, may Hashem answer you in the day of crisis. May He elevate you, Yisagev Hashem Elokei Yaakov. Pasuk Gimel, Yishlach Hazrichami Kodesh, may He send help from His Kodesh, from the Beis Hamikdash. Umi Tzion Yisadaka, He'll send support from Tzion. Pasuk Hey, Yiten Lecha Chilavecha, may He give you what your heart wants. V'chol Atzeschal Yimalei, may He give you all of your counsel. So it's boom, boom, boom. Yizkorakom Min Chosecha, may He remember your Kabanos, remember your Kabanos. May He give you this, may He give you that. May He give you this, may He give all these tefillos at the beginning, may Hashem give us what we're hoping for again and again and again. Okay? That is the first half of the mizmor. When we get to the second half of the mizmor, we'll see how things change a little bit. This pasuk, Yancha Hashem biyom tzara yisagevcha Shem Elokei Yaakov. So may the God of Yaakov elevate you. So immediately we have to ask, and the Mepharshim addressed this question, we've got three avos that we were blessed with, right? So why is Yaakov singled out? It could have been, Elokeinu, it could have been Elokei Avraham, and it could have been Elokei Avraham Yitzchak B'Yaakov. Why is Yaakov singled out? So Rashi paves the way. Many of the other Mepharshim say this as well. We invoke Yaakov at a moment of crisis when we look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save us. Why? Because Yaakov was in the same boat. Of all of the Avos, Yaakov Avinu was the one who went through the most severe trials and tribulations. And he was the one who, when he's leaving, he's running away from one enemy. He's running away from Esav. And he's running towards another enemy. He's running towards Lavan at the beginning of Parshas Vayetze. So he got the promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi says, he promised, Sheftichah Belechto Lecharon Veshamar Avtochaso. Yeah, Hashem, in the dream of the ladders, promises Yaakov he will watch over him now that he goes into enemy territory. Avraham, for the most part, doesn't go into enemy territory. He stays in Eretz Yisrael for the most part. Yitzchak really doesn't go into enemy territory. He stays in Eretz Yisrael his whole career. Yaakov is the one of the Avos who repeatedly has to go into Galus, and he has to face down Paro and Lavan and Shechem and Esav. And so that is one of the Avos we want to recall, just like HaKadosh Baruch who protected Yaakov against all odds. I mean, he's one man against vastly more powerful forces. So too, that is exactly what we look to as we go out with our smaller army, which by all rational means should not be successful, but as the mizmor is going to pound again and again and again, we look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He answered Yaakov, he should answer us as well. Okay? Pasuk Gimel, the Tillim says, Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh Mitzion Yisadaka. So may Hashem send his help from the Kodesh, from the Beis HaMikdash, and from Tzion. The Malbim, turn to page number 2, has an important piece of chizuk over here. We're far away from Yerushalayim. We're going to battle. We're not near. We're not in close proximity to the Beis HaMikdash. Does that matter, though? Is that a limiting factor at all for the Malach Malachim Lachim? Not whatsoever. Right? Even though the actual house of God may be far away, we're not bothered by that at all. Hashem can send help wherever we may happen to be. Anywhere where Jews are in trouble, they can look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save us. Okay? Pasuk Dalet, as we continue the may Hashem do this, may Hashem do that, may Hashem do this, may Hashem do that. So we say, Yizkor kol min chosecha, may He remember our menachos, our flower offerings, and He may remember our olos, may He remember the burnt offerings. It seems like the focus here is on karbanos. However, look what Rashi has to say. Rashi says, this doesn't only mean karbanos. What else can the pasuk refer to, says Rashi? Heim hatefilos shatem misfalim b'malchama. May Hashem remember our tefillos. We know that tefillah, we know that davening is compared to a karban. Shacharis and mincha and mariv were established in parallel to the karbanos. We say uparim neshalma sefaseinu. May Hashem accept what we offer with our mouths, the way that one would accept karbanos. So some of the mafarshim point out, you know, if we're going to war, you can't bring karbanos if you're on the battlefield, because where's the only place where you can bring karbanos? Is in the Beis Hamikdash, right? So the Jewish army kind of can find themselves in the same situation we are now. Even when the Beis Hamikdash was standing, they weren't able to bring karbanos in that moment. Let alone us, we aren't able to bring karbanos at all. So the good news is, Hashem can remember not only the animal karbanos that we bring in the Beis Hamikdash itself, but Hashem remembers and accepts all our tefillos wherever we give. That's how Rashi is explaining the Hashem remembering all, right? It's kol minchosacha va'olascha. All of our offerings, be they literal, physical karbanos in the Beis Hamikdash, whether they be the karbanos that we are all offering in the moment of war. The last two pesukim of this first chunk of the Mizmor. So pasuk hey is pretty straightforward. Yiten lecha chilvavacha v'chol atzischai balei. May Hashem give us what our hearts want and fulfill our counsel. Right? It's like a climactic conclusion. We daven for X, Y, X, Y, X, Y. Finally, they give you what you want. Okay? Like an all inclusive prayer that Hashem gives us what we want. Then pasuk vav is very interesting. Niranna bishua sacha. We will rejoice in Hashem's redemption. Uvshem Elokeinu Nidgol. We will, Mefarshim disagree what this means. In the name of Hashem, Rashi says it means that we're going to gather together in the name of Hashem. Other Mefarshim say it's like a degel, it's like a flag, right? Who's on the Jewish flag? I mean, now it's a mug and dagger, but really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our flag, right? He's our banner. And then we conclude with this climactic final request, Yimale Hashem kol mishalosecha. Right? May Hashem do all those things. Finally, may Hashem give us everything we wanted. Yimale Hashem kol mishalosecha. But we're in the moment of the battle, right? So why are we talking about the celebration we're going to have? Why are we talking about Niranana Bishua Secha? Why are we talking about that now? It's a little bit early to talk about that. And furthermore, if you want to tell me that we're anticipating what Hashem will do for us later, so what should the pasuk have said? The pasuk should have said, "Yimale Hashem kol mishalosecha." May Hashem fulfill all of our requests. Ooh, niranana, and then after He fulfills what we want, then we'll go back and celebrate. Right? It's in the wrong. Why is the celebration there before Hashem answers our tefillos? Right? So Rashi and the Radak do say that we're anticipating what's going to happen later. But the Malbim says something amazing. The Malbim says, why are we celebrating? He says at the end of Malbim, Niranin al Hayeshua Shana Selecha. We can celebrate, we can praise Hashem for the redemption, Terem Navo. We can celebrate it before it even comes. It hasn't come yet. And yet David HaMelech has so much bitachon that he is able to celebrate the victory that he anticipates Hashem giving him before it even happens. That is the level of emunah bitachon that David is trying to strive for. Not just hoping, not just davening, but he fully believes that Hashem is going to be there for him, ad kedei kach, that he can celebrate the victory and then continue davening that the victory should happen, because it happened as it hasn't happened yet. But David HaMelech is already celebrating, and then he says, Yamalei Hashem kol mishalosecha. He knows he still needs to daven and daven fully. But even as David davens with every ounce of his body, he combines that with a full faith that those tefillos are going to be answered. It's really interesting, you know, like in theory, one would have thought that those should be intention, no? The more desperately somebody davens for something, the less likely often they think it's going to be fulfilled. And the more confident they are that it's going to be fulfilled, the less they feel like they need to daven. Yeah. Right. How many times, every morning I say Moda Ani by rote usually in the morning. I get out of bed and I mumble it because I take for granted the fact that I woke up, right? If I had been in a coma, Rachmana Litzlan, I would have said Moda Ani with much more kavana afterwards because I wasn't taking for granted that that had happened. When you really feel you need something, you daven for it much more intensely. David HaMelech is able to daven and daven and daven and daven while at the same time having that full faith and confidence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be there for him. That's what the Malbim is drawing out of this, the fact that David's already celebrating while he's still davening. Okay, so Ad Kan, the first half of the Mizmor. David is davening, asking for different things. May Hashem do this, may Hashem do that.
It doesn't work out.
We actually did this in the Gemara Chabura the other day. We saw from the Rambam is an amazing thing. The Rambam thinks that Mida Orais on a biblical level, your tefillah needs to begin with praising Hashem and then go on to asking for your needs. Where does that come from? So the Gemara in Bracha says this comes from Moshe Rabbeinu in Veschanan. Moshe praises Hashem and then Moshe asks, can I enter the land? But I pointed out,
the answer was
no. Right, so the tefillah, which is our source for how to daven mida oraisa, is a tefillah where the answer was no. Sometimes the answer is no. Okay. But we still have bitachon. We hope for the yes. Okay. So now we have the second half of the mizmor. Pasuk Zion is the only pasuk here which is really kind of raises eyebrows in terms of what does it actually mean, is pasuk Zion. Where David says, Ata yadati, now I know, Ki Hoshia Hashem Meshicho, Hashem has saved his anointed, Ya'aneu Mishmei Kadsho, he'll answer him from Shemayim, Bigvuros Yesha Yimino, right, with the strength of his right hand. Now I know that Hashem saves his anointed. So who the anointed is, we can figure out. The anointed is David himself. But what happened that now I know that I've been saved? What does it mean? It's before the battle. So what does it mean?
Similar to similar language to by Abraham and Sarah, but he no yadati, but only now he knew. This is something that of course he knew already. Meaning David had a lifetime of being saved from his enemies. You know, so you're seeing Lashon there that parallels by Abraham.
Interesting.
Hine no yadati, now I know. Really? You've been married to her for 100 years, you didn't realize?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It's also used by the Akeda.
But in that context, it really makes sense, right? Because it's after Avraham is about to shech Yitzchak that the Malach says, Ata yadati kirei Elokim ata, right? Now I know that you're a God. Now, okay, I guess David, Avraham was God-fearing before, but not at the level of the Akedah. So Rashi and the Ibn Ezra both give different interpretations here. We should just know them to make heads or tails of the Pasuk. The Ibn Ezra thinks that this is Ruach HaKodesh, okay? He knows that Hashem's going to save him. Beseder. Rashi thinks that it's just a continuation of the previous pasuk. Rashi says, "What am I going to celebrate? Right? Nirananah bishu asacha. I'm going to praise Hashem. What is my praise going to be after the battle is over?" Explains Rashi. I will say, "Ata yadati ki yoshi Hashem mishicha." So Pasuk Vav, Rashi explained, was, I will celebrate after the battle. Pasuk Zion is, what will my thanks be? I will say, Ata yadati ki yashia Hashem Meshicha. There's an important point here, I think, which is, in terms of chizik for ourselves, right? We don't just daven, and we don't just have bitachon that Hashem will answer our tefillos, but we actually do want to visualize, what is our gratitude going to be? Right, we plan our expression of gratitude. We plan our expression of thanks before it comes. Right, already before the moment happens, David is already thinking, how am I going to express my thanks? It's not just enough to focus on my please now. How often does it happen that we say please, 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 and then we get something, and then right, we kind of move on. He's laying the groundwork now for the gratitude he's going to express in the future. That's what emerges from Rashi's understanding of Pasuk Zion over here. Okay, the tillet ends, right, with these three psukim. Pasuk Ches and Pasuk Tes clearly go together, right? It's like the Mizmor's way of kind of bringing us to a climactic end. Eile v'recha ve'eile v'susim, these have chariots and these have horses. Banachnu v'shem Hashem elokeinu nazkir, we call out in the name of Hashem. By the way, the word that appears the most times in this Mizmor, and it's not really close, is the Shem Hashem. Hashem's name appears over and over again, right? So we're going to invoke Hashem's name, and that's exactly what David is doing in this Mizmor. We're calling out Hashem, 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 Hashem. Great. Hema kar'u v'nafalu, they will bow down and fall. V'anachnu kamnu v'nisadad, we will stand up and be straightened, right? Going into the battle, who's more powerful? They are. They have the bigger force, right? Going into the battle, we're down and they're up. But what's going to happen? They will fall down. Right now they're up, but they are going to fall. Right now we are down, but we have bitachon, we are going to stand up, right? Things are going to turn around. And then finally, Hashem Hoshia Hamelech Ya'aneinu V'yom Kareinu. Hashem, save us, the king answer us on the day that we call. This pasuk is different from all of the other psukim. In all of the other psukim, so David is talking to his army. David is talking to Yoav, right? Yancha Hashem. Hashem will answer you. Yishlach Ezracha Mikodesh. He'll send help to you. Neranenab Yishua Sacha, right? Or we'll celebrate. B'shem Elokeinu Nidgo. But there, at no point does David directly beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yimale Hashem Kal Mashal Osecha. May Hashem fulfill your requests. Why is it you? So Rashi explained very nicely, because David is not fighting over here. David is davening on behalf of the Chayalim, and he is not part of the army right now. But in the last pasuk, David includes himself. Hashem, save us. Hamelach ya'aneinu. Answer us. Not just answer them, right? Don't help them. It's us. The Mizmor ends, the Rashi has it, even though we are not fighting, we're still davening, and at the end of the day, all of us are together. All of us are included. Hashem Hoshia Hamelach Ya'aneinu V'yom Karinu. On the day that all of us, Yoav and his army, and us over here, the Chayalim on the battlefront, us over here, are all davening together. We're all in this together. The Radak says, we should know, he says, this was the battle cry that Bnei Yisrael had. He said, Zeu Shahu Omrim V'tzaakim B'machamba. What was the battle cry? Right, some people, they just they yell. Other people yell about conquest. Our cry as we went into battle was Hashem Hashia HaMelech Ya'aneinu V'yom Karinu. That's what's emblazoned. That's the Jewish army's yearbook quote, as it were. So it's a mizmor of bitachon. It's a mizmor of confidence, of tefillah, and it's a mizmor that really emphasizes the importance of tefillah, right, and the inclusion of those who are davening along with those who are going to walk. Okay. If we turn now to Parak Kuf Chaf Beis, another one of the prakim which are being recited in many circles during these times, the ultimate tefillah for shalom, right? And we kind of take for granted to what extent Yadus emphasizes shalom. We really, really do. It's like so baked into us that we don't realize how unique it is, right? The last bracha Shmoneh Esrei is it's like everywhere. All we don't want victory. We don't daven for conquest. We don't daven for domination. Our ultimate desire is to have peace. Right, all the prakim of war that we have in Tehillim, we'll look at another one next week. Next week we'll look at Pei Gimel. It's all cases where we're being attacked. We're being attacked and we have to fight and we daven that Hashem should protect us, Hashem should save us. But the ultimate desire we have is the desire for Shalom. And the city of Yerushalayim is the city that epitomizes this to the most massive degree. We're going to see in this parak how Yerushalayim is the city of Shalom and it mirrors Bnei Yisrael, who are the people of Shalom, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the God of Shalom. So the Mizmor, right? Shir Hamalas LeDavid, Samachti BeOmrim LiBeis Hashem Neilech. I rejoiced, and they said to me, "Let's go to Hashem's house." Omzos Hayiraglin B'Sha'areich Yerushalayim. Our feet stand in your gates, Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim HaBnuya Ki Ir Shachur La Yachtav. Yerushalayim, the built-up city, joined together, which we'll need to explain. Shasham Alu Shvatim Shivteka, the city where the Shvatim went up to, seems to refer to Aliyah LeRegel. Edus Yisrael, Odos L'Shem Hashem, testimony for Israel to thank Hashem. We'll see what that means soon. Kishama Yashru Kisos L'Mishpat Kisos L'Beis David. That's where the thrones of justice, the thrones of David are. Shalu Shalom Yerushalayim Yishlayu Avayach. Ask for peace for Yerushalayim and serenity for those who love you. Yishalom B'Chaylich Shalva B'Armon Osayach. Peace in your chayel. We'll see what that is. Shalva, harmony in your palaces. Begging, hoping for peace, hoping for good. The clear theme here is shalom. And we'll see, besides the fact that shalom is mentioned again and again, how peace and harmony and unity, David puts those into so many elements of this parak. Let's begin by taking a look at the structure of the mizmor. For the most part, every pasuk in here is linked, is paired with another pasuk. Right, in the parak of peace, in the parak of harmony, every pasuk has a friend. There's no pasuk that stands alone, except for one. And we'll have to see why that is. So pasuk Aleph is linked to pasuk Beis. Beis Hashem Neilech, let us go to the house of Hashem. Omdos Hayaraglenu, our feet were standing there. So we're walking at the end of pasuk Aleph. We're walking there, that goes straight into standing there in pasuk Beis. Right? Pasuk Aleph is linked to Pasuk Beis. Then Pasuk Beis is actually linked to Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Beis ends with the word Yerushalayim, and Pasuk Gimel begins with the word Yerushalayim. Pasuk Beis flows to Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Dalid is linked to Pasuk Hey. Shesham Alu Shvatim, that's how it begins. There the Shvatim ascended. And Pasuk Hey, Kishama Yashu Kisos, that's where the seats were set up. So every pasuk is flowing into the next one. And then Vav Zayin Hey, Vav Zayin Ches and Tes, the flowing and the unity is even more intense, right? Where Shalom is coming up again and again, Shalva is coming up again and again, then Ches and Tes end the same way. Leman Achai V'rei Ayadabra Nashalom Bach, Leman Beis Hashem Elokeinu Avak Shatov Lach. It's a nice song because it goes so well together, right? These psukim are absolutely linked. Nothing here is alone by itself. And then even Pasuk Tes, look how Pasuk Tes flows back all the way around to Pasuk Aleph. It's a closed circle because Pasuk Aleph begins by talking about the Beis Hashem, Hashem's house, the Beis HaMikdash, and Pasuk Tes ends by talking about the Beis HaMikdash. So every Pasuk is flowing into the next one, and we have the beginning and the end, the same reference to the Beis HaMikdash. And the connections get stronger and stronger as we go. That's what's going on over here in the next page. The one pasuk which in a translation level stands alone is pasuk gimel. Even though they all flow to each other, aleph and beis really go together. We're going to Hashem in pasuk aleph, we're standing there in pasuk beis. Pasuk dalet, that's where the shvatim went, that's where the seats were. Pasuk vav, pasuk zayin, ask for peace, may there be peace. Pasuk ches, daven for peace, pasuk ches, daven for peace. Right? All the pasukim are together except for pasuk gimel. And why is that the case? What does that mean? When one pasuk is singled out, among all the other ones, structurally, it's going to tell us that this is the most important pasuk in the Mizmor, right? So what is the most important pasuk in the Mizmor? Yerushalayim habnuya ki'ir shechubra la yachdav. Yerushalayim, the built-up city, a city which is all joined together. What does it mean? Yerushalayim is all joined together. The Malbim has a beautiful image. He has it throughout his parish on the Mizmor. A Klal Yisrael is like a body. We're a single organism with a number of different limbs, but all those limbs come together to be part of one body. And what's the heart, which is the center, which unites all of them and pumps blood to all of them and gives life to all of them, keeps them together? That's exactly the role of Yerushalayim. Geographically, politically, strategically, Yerushalayim has this role, right? It's smack in the middle of Eretz Yisrael. You have Yehuda right there in the south, Ephraim right there in the north. Yerushalayim is right there in the middle. It's, you know, like Washington, D.C. was supposed to be. It's the city which is supposed to unite the whole country. It doesn't belong to any Shevet. No one Shevet has a claim to Yerushalayim. It's the city which is supposed to unite all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, the Mefarshim have a number of different approaches. I want to look at all of them. When exactly David HaMelech is saying this, right? This is Shir Malos LeDavid. Is David maybe writing this, anticipating when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt and goes on Aliyah LeRegel? That's one approach in the Mefarshim. Hey, just like the Pesukim describe that David prepared the materials for the Beis HaMikdash, right? So it also could be, this is the Ibn Ezra's first pshat over here on top of page number 4, is that David HaMelech wrote the Mizmor to recite once the Beis HaMikdash was going to be rebuilt. No, it was going to be built. Hey, you can't build it, but I'll get the materials ready, and I'll write the Mizmor. I'll write the Mizmor for us to have when Yerushalayim is up and running. The Talmud Yerushalmi says that this Mizmor was said by the Jews when they were going on Aliyah the Regal. As everybody from all, it's a beautiful image, as all people from all walks of life, they're all walking together towards Yerushalayim, they're all reciting this Mizmor. That's why the Mizmor begins, Beis Hashem Nelech. Let us go to the house of Hashem. Yerushalmi says, when they're on the road, they would say, Beis Hashem Nelech, Pasuk Aleph, let's go to Hashem's house. And then when they finally got to Yerushalayim, they got to the city, then everybody would sing the second Pasuk, Omdos Hayiraglein B'Sha'areich Yerushalayim. We got there, now our feet are standing in your gates, Yerushalayim. It's the song of those going on Aliyah the Rega. What does Zionism mean? Our feet are standing in your gates. So the Ibn Ezra says, this looks like a curse, but it's actually a bracha. Why are we standing in the gates? We shouldn't stand in the gates. What should we do when we get to the gate? Yeah, walk inside, right? Why are we standing in the gates? We should keep walking, go to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Ibn Ezra writes, there's a traffic jam. Kihi haisa maleya adam. The city is so full of Jews going on Aliyah L'Regel. V'hayinu mis'akvim b'sha'arim. We would be stuck in the gates. Lo nuchal l'hikanes. And we can't even enter the city. Me'rov ha'am haba'im b'hayotzim. Because there are so many people. It is so packed with people coming in and coming out. So we're coming to the Beis HaMikdash in Pasuk Aleph, and we're stuck there in Pasuk Beis. But this is not a reason for us to be upset. It's not a reason for us to get annoyed. We see it as a bracha. We see it yet another thing to thank Hashem for, right? Omdos Hayarglim. There are so many Jews coming to Yerushalayim, and you go to the Kotel at certain times of day or times of year, and you can have this experience. And it can be annoying, but Ibn Ezra is saying we should look at the bracha which is there. Okay. Pasuk Gimel, the top of page number 5, we said was the key pasuk. Yerushalayim habenuya ki ir shechubra la yachdav. So the city which is all joined together. Here the Malbim once again gives his image. It's the city which all the limbs are attached to. That's the heart that connects the rest of Klal Yisrael. The Ibn Ezra also has a very, very powerful image. Usually, when do all the people pack into a city? Usually that happens not in a time of bracha, it happens in a time of war. In a crisis, everybody from the surrounding areas, they all come running to the cities for safety. So the Ibn Ezra writes, what's unique about Yerushalayim is you see, and if you didn't know anything about Yadus, you saw all these people streaming into Yerushalayim, you would think that there was an attack that was happening. But then you say, wait a second, why are they playing music and they're singing and dancing and they're bringing, what's going on? They're bringing karbanos. So what is for other cities, as everyone else comes there, misaviv be'es ha'pachad, right? Other people come to other cities at moments of panic, at moments of fear, moments of terror. Yerushalayim, everyone comes together to Yerushalayim specifically in times of peace. Right? Other cities, times of peace, the city is quiet. Yerushalayim, times of peace for the city is booming. That's when everyone is coming together. Okay, pasuk Dalet. Shasham alu shvatim. Right, that's where the shvatim would go. Shivteka Hashem's shvatim. We're not just shvatim, we're Hashem's shvatim. Edus liYisrael. It's a testimony for Yisrael. What is the testimony? What's the testimony over here? Naradak explains. If you see what's happening, you see this amazing vision of all Bnei Yisrael coming to Yerushalayim. That is the greatest testimony that Hashem has chosen us. Right? When you see, and I'm feeling this right now, when you see Jewish, there's nothing more powerful to see than when you see Jewish unity. There's just absolutely nothing like it at all. And we're seeing it right now. You want to know what it means to be the Am HaNivchar, what it means to be the Am Hashem? Look at Klal Yisrael in moments when they're all coming together. There's a power, there's a just something transcendent that doesn't match anything else.
And the opposite is not too good.
Rahman al-Assad, the opposite is exactly. Hey, the history of Yerushalayim. Whenever Yerushalayim fell in battle, it's when Bnei Yisrael were divided. Right? Second base of Mikdash, you have 19 sects that are fighting each other while the Romans are at the gates. When Klal Yisrael are united, there's no stopping us. Absolutely not. Okay. Pasuk Vav. We go down to Pasuk Vav, Pasuk Zion. Shalu Shalom Yerushalayim, Shalayu O'avayach. And then we say, "He shalom bechaylech, shalva ba'armanosayah." So what does that mean? We want peace in the chayl and shalva in the armanos. The Radak, again, here has a beautiful interpretation. The Radak says that the chayl, he says, this is the ditch. The chayl is the chfira shehi saviv hachoma. You have a wall, so what do you put in front of the wall? Always, you have a moat. Right, so the low point is the chayl. The chayl is the moat surrounding the city. So why are we talking about having peace in the moat? What does it mean to have peace in a moat? So the answer is, the moat is the low point of the city. And what are the armanos? What those are, he says, heim batei hamisgav. Those are the very high houses. Those are the palaces. Besochair. Yerushalayim is united. It's the city of unity and peace. And that means it doesn't matter if you're in the lowest ditch of the city, It doesn't matter if you're in the highest palace of the city. Yerushalayim is not a city where you have the bad neighborhoods and you have the good neighborhoods, and it's a totally different experience. The bracha is Yishalom b'cheilech shalva b'armanosayach. All of Yerushalayim, every neighborhood, the low parts and the high parts, should all be the same. They all should have this peace. They all should have this harmony. What exactly is the difference between peace and harmony? What is the difference between shalom and shalva? The Malbim, in particular, of the Mefarshim, right? Often some of the Mefarshim will say, yeah, it's a poetic piece, okay? Use synonyms as poetry, poetic license. Could be. But the Malbim is always very carefully attuned to the exact words that the Pasuk is using. And the Malbim says that there is a difference between shalom, between peace, and harmony. He says peace really is outside. Right? You have shalom between countries. You don't have shalva. You don't have harmony between countries. Shalom is between one entity and another entity. Shalva is inner harmony. And the Malbim writes that if there's shalva, then there's going to be shalom. If you want there to be shalom, there has to be shalva. He says right here, the red in the top of page number 6. Sheshloma talui. The peace of Yerushalayim depends. Im ha'ivarim v'hakochot shebigvia mekusharim. Are all of the different limbs linked? V'yesh lahem shalom yachtav. Are they going to have peace together? So if you want, right, when we say Shalu Shalom Yerushalayim, you want Yerushalayim to have shalom? What's the way to get shalom in Yerushalayim? Yishloyu ohavayach. Those who love you have to have shalom. There has to be inner harmony. The people have to have harmony, and then we can have that dream of peace. But it can't just start from the outside. It has to start with us working on ourselves on the inside. We need to have that shalva, we need to have that serenity, and then that can lead to the interpersonal peace. That's the tefillah of Shalu Shalom Yerushalayim, Yishloyu Ohavayach. That's how to get the shalom, is through the shalva. Okay, now the pasuk ends, Laman Achai Virei Adabra Na Shalom Bach. For my brothers and my friends, I will daven for peace for you. Why are we singling out the brothers? Why are we singling out the friends? Shouldn't we single out everybody? So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, who are the brothers and the friends? Yisrael. Right? All of Yisrael. When we have the shalom that Yerushalayim aspires for, so Klal Yisrael is not just a nation. They are my brothers. They are my friends. I may have never met the person before. But Yisrael is Achai V'Re'ai. He's my brother. He's my friend. Laman Achai V'Re'ai Adabra Na Shalom Bach. I want peace for Yerushalayim on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. But it's not just Klal Yisrael. It is my brothers and my friends. Now, the Malbim, once again, has a great insight. Pasuk Ches tells us that we daven for peace in Pasuk Ches, which makes a lot of sense. The whole Mizmor was peace, 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 peace. All we want for Yerushalayim is Shalom. So why doesn't the Mizmor end with Shalom? Why does the Mizmor end, Laman Beis Hashem Elokeinu Avaksha Tov Lach? All of a sudden we want good. It should be right there. Laman Achai V'Re'ai Adabra Na Shalom Bach. Laman Beis Hashem Elokeinu Avaksha Shalom Bach. It should have been all about Shalom. Why do we introduce this idea of Tov at the very end? So the Malbim says we need to be more ambitious. He says, yeah, we want Shalom, 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 Shalom. 100,000%. What's the ultimate desire we want? It's not just calm and peace and harmony. No, the end of this week's parsha, the Dor HaFlaga, the Migdal Babel, they had peace and harmony, but they didn't have Tov. Yeah. Tov is the next level. Once you have the Shalom, that's a prerequisite. You can't have anything without Shalom. Shalom is the foundation. He says, once you have the Shalom, once everyone's on the same page, once everyone is united and together, then we can strive for the Tov, which he says is mitzvos u'masim tovim. He says that's why we look specifically to the Beis HaMikdash. That's why we look to the Beis Hashem. He says that's why it's avaksha. Why do I have to seek Tov? He says when it comes to Shalom, peace, it can be hard to get peace because we have a Yetzer Hara that loves to fight. But in terms of how to be peaceful, it's not actually particularly complicated. Nobody has to give a very in-depth, high-level shiur to figure out what peace should look like. We know what peace should look like. You have a Yetzirah that dissuades us from getting it. But we know exactly what peace should be. But if you want Tov, if you want to attain the higher level of Kedusha, that is not always so simple. There are many high-level shiurim, figuring out what exactly a mitzvah should be, what exactly a halacha should be. When you get to the next level, says the Malbim, that is avaksha tov lach. That is something already that needs to be sought. That needs to be something which we really quest after. It is something which can be hidden, but none of it can happen. The absolute start and basis and foundation for everything is this idea of shalom. Just last couple of minutes, well, I think it's worthwhile for us to take a step back and understand where Shalom stands when it comes to Yerushalayim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in general. Because part of the peace of Yerushalayim, part of the harmony of Yerushalayim, is that it links all of Klal Yisrael. The Malbim said that. It's the Ir Shechubra LaYachdav. It is the heart that unites the whole entire body. The Gemara in Tainus, though, says that there are two Yerushalayims. Right, there is the earthly Yerushalayim, and there is Yerushalayim Shalmala. There is the parallel Yerushalayim in heaven. Right, it's one city which is two. There is a Yerushalayim. There's a Shemayim Yerushalayim. The Gemara asks, where does this come from? Where we have this idea? Mi'ika Yerushalayim Lamala. What is there a Yerushalayim in heaven? What are we talking about? In Dechsev Yerushalayim Habnuya Ki'ir Shechubra La Yachdav. Yerushalayim that is built like the United City. What does it mean, Yerushalayim that is built like the United City? There are two cities. There is Yerushalayim, and there is the Yerushachubra LaYachtav. There are the Yerushalayim and Shemayim. There are two cities. One is built on the template of the other. The very name of Yerushalayim, where does Yerushalayim come from? Originally, Yishalim, right? Peace is in the very name of Yerushalayim. The Gemara in Shabbos says, the halacha, peace also is the very name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gemara says, you cannot say the word shalom in a bathroom, because shalom is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yerushalayim, it's the earthly city that unites all of Klal Yisrael, but it also unites Klal Yisrael with Shemayim. It is the city which has the name of peace, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself has the name of peace. And finally, the Medrash says in Parashas Tzav that the ultimate vision we have, right, it talks about the Karban Shlamim. And it says the Karban Shlamim is amazing because it creates shalom between Yisrael and our Father in heaven. The Karban which is shared by everybody. But then the Medrash proceeds to have a whole discussion about the value of shalom. Very, very intense, like loving description of shalom. And then the Medrash concludes by telling us, but the red at the bottom, La'olam haba, what is the Messianic world going to look like? And we don't look to an Armageddon. Again, we don't look to conquest and destruction. Says the Medrash, La'olam haba, kishiyachsir kadosh baruch hu es hagalius lil Yerushalayim. When Hashem brings all the exiles back to Yerushalayim, b'shalom hu machziran. He will bring us back there in peace. Shene'emar, as the Pasuk says, Shalu Shalom Yerushalayim. You'll ask for peace, right, on the way to Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim is the city of peace, the city of harmony. It's the Ir Shechubra LaYachdav. Politically, geographically, it brings us together. Spiritually, it brings us together. It's the city that unites us with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we daven that L'Asad Lavo, Meher V'Yameinu, we should all come there with full shalom. Amen.